Welcome back in. Here's Sharp Show, Gary and Friends, whatever we're calling it this day. It's 1620 The Zone of the Mornings. There's Robbie and Jimmy. Brett Cianci will join us coming up in about an hour, championship weekend. Mike chimes in on the YouTube channel. He was in Austin last night. Good to hear from him. He said, good morning from the airport in Austin.
Oh, nice.
Say hello to the man that is Mr. Tesla.
Oh, there we go.
Building down there in Austin. He said, didn't notice anything different in the arena, but he said the atmosphere was electric. Felt like a March game last night. Looks like an odd arena. I mean,
they had the tarp down in the upper deck.
So yeah,
they
why?
I don't know.
They can't fill it.
Well, I know it was a late arriving crowd. They played at 6 o'clock, and traffic is awful in Austin.
Sure.
I mean, Austin is a great city. Great, great city. But Austin is catching up to the millions of people that are now living there or moving there, but traffic is brutal. So, 6 o'clock, there are a lot of places where it's not going to be packed at 6.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, why did they not have they couldn't have sold the place out?
I wonder.
The top 10 game last night.
They only sell out a couple games a year. One is Kansas because all the Kansas fans that invade, and then usually like a Tech or something like that. But, yes, I was surprised they didn't open it up because why not? I mean, it is very much a bandwagon fan base down there, so why aren't you going to go watch a top 10 matchup?
They love their video boards.
Oh, yeah.
If you saw wide shots in that game, they love their video boards. Video boards are changing. Remember, you've seen a Kraken game? By the way, shout out Seattle Kraken are on another win streak. They're going to make the playoffs in year 2.
They went 9-8.
Yeah, they do some wild stuff with the the visuals.
But have you seen the video boards in, I still call it, Key West Arena, it's whatever it's named now. It's got a
Seattle Center Coliseum.
Yeah. Their video boards, there are two separate ones. They don't have the center hung one that most places
mm-hmm.
do.
Yeah.
They have two separate ones. Like
on each end?
Yeah.
In a corner or something like that.
Yeah, it's essentially you know, Jerry's World with that scoreboard, but it's two of them, not as large, and they're like on the ends. It would be like in the offensive zone when it's set up for hockey. But I don't know what the Moody Center. I got the screens are everywhere.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, why would you watch the game? You just sit there and you pay for a ticket to watch the game on TV in the same building. And if you want to look down and go, oh, they're playing.
That sounds like a Cowboys game.
Yeah, no, I think they're. I mean, I know Mike said he didn't say anything weird with the arena. I think there probably was just from watching how Creighton shot it, and not just that they shot poorly, but how bad the misses were, like you were saying. And that's probably not – there's a couple things. This is no offense to Mike. We appreciate him chiming in. If you're not on the court, you're probably not going to notice it. And if you're not used to shooting on a court like that, you're probably not going to notice it. Like if you're not used to how shooting in other arenas, mm-hmm. it's probably not something that just a normal – everyday person would be like, oh, the sight lines are weird in this.
It is a lot different than the Irwin Center, which had more of the traditional backdrop behind it.
Like, unless it's a football stadium like they do with the Final Four, where you can obviously see, hey, this looks really weird. If it's a traditional, quote-unquote, traditional basketball stadium that just has weird sight lines, I don't know how many non-basketball players or people that have been around the game a ton, coaches, broadcasters, whoever, would actually notice that the sight lines are weird.
427 from beyond the arc, end up losing by 3 or 5 last night.
5, yeah, with the fouls.
By the way, boom, I said Texas win by 4. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you're
give
like
me one of them toys
on
that you're going to bring to stuff the truck. So yesterday wasn't a good sports day around here. Can we be honest?
Yeah.
It wasn't a good sports day.
No.
I don't care who you root for. Omaha Women's Basketball won late out in Malibu. So
that's nice.
If you're cheering for Black Nebraska, there you go. But from Nebraska football yesterday, quite a range of what was going on. Matt Rhule was again making his national tour on national radio and TV shows. He's very comfortable. There's a lot of Carolina Panther talk. And I mean, he really doesn't know much about Nebraska yet other than this was a fit for him. But he's kind of been being grilled about the time at Carolina. And he's had to walk a couple of things back, but to us, that really doesn't matter. I don't care what happened in the NFL, unless it bleeds into stuff you're doing on your job.
Mm-hmm.
So you had that yesterday. You had the affidavit come out about Mickey Joseph and Then he went before the judge, posted bail. He is out. You had Malachi Coleman decommitting, wanting to be re-recruited. That's a whole nother topic we'll get to in a moment. And then a flurry. Is there anybody in the room that feels a little bit bad for Brent Banks? Brent Banks? Because a trio of Huskers were into the portal yesterday, and he's the guy that got ignored. I mean,
yeah, I don't. I mean,
his best moment at Nebraska is a basketball player that also plays football.
Yeah, I don't necessarily feel bad for him. I understand, you know, he was pretty widely overlooked yesterday, but there's a reason for that.
So you get Dakoldis Crawford, who suffered an injury, didn't play, but had a hell of an NIL deal, and so Dakoldis is in the portal, and then the one, and when I look at the portal. You know, we know that the portal is going to divide fans because some absolutely hate college football free agency. Others, and this is a, hey, I want every player to do what's best for them. Just because somebody goes into the portal doesn't mean they don't want to be at Nebraska. They want an opportunity, or it just didn't work out, or they've got other things going on that we have no idea about. So I'm not going to judge them. And I want the best for them because that's what we all want. We all do the best for us. But it divides fans, you know, on how you look at somebody that's in the portal. You know, what, you're bailing on your teammates. Or, you know what? We're going to get somebody out of the portal. We might lose somebody. But as this has become part of college football and college athletics, I always look at it, is there a player that left your program that you went, gosh, dang it. I always say this with assistant coaches that go somewhere else. Do you think the people at South Carolina are going, gosh, dang it. We've had these last two great games with Marcus Satterfield, and now he's gone. Are they saying that? Because if they are, you feel real good around here. But back to a player. Through the few years that we've had the portal, there's really only a player and a half. I'll be fair. There's two players where I went, gosh, that's a loss. Wandale Robinson is number one, should be number one with everybody.
Yep.
Casey Rogers, when he decided to transfer... I looked at it last year and I said, gosh, that's a position that I'm worried about. And he's a guy that healthy at least could give you something. He went to Oregon and started, okay? And you don't think he would have been one of the starters this year? Which would have been nice to start the year with somebody that you knew and what they could give you as long as they were healthy. Ernest Hausman yesterday puts his name into the portal. And that guy gets onto my list as, dang.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
But. It's a surprise, but is it a surprise because his position coach is gone? I mean, Barrett Rood, who recruited him out of Columbus and brought him along, and really, as you saw when Nick Henrich went down with his injury, I mean, Ernest Hausman was playing right away. And you saw, man, we're in the roller coaster of a true raw freshman trying to play linebacker in the Big Ten Conference, and getting exposed and hopefully learning on the fly. And then he got benched. And then once Nick Henrich goes down against Purdue, Hausman has to come in and play extended minutes because Maga Clements has not given you anything consistently. Okay, and Kolarvik, they don't want him playing there all the time. So why not give an opportunity to Ernest Hausman? And we saw what he did in the month of November. He took off and he basically told all of us, and we went, man, think about him as an integral piece of the 23 defense, whatever it's going to look like. He's a guy you got to have on the field. So yesterday, he's part of the trio that go into the portal. And he's a guy that immediately goes on my list that is like, gosh, that's a guy. You can't lose that guy. But I pause, and I think other people should. You can go into the portal, and we're going to see players try and see what their value is outside of their current team. Whether you like that or not, that's where we are. And his market on his value on the open market, I think would be fairly, he'd get some interest, but he didn't have a lot of contacts along the way in the recruiting because it was kind of Nebraska.
That's kind of why this is surprising.
So he's into the portal, but I'm not ready to put him on the list of thanks for the memes in the 1 year. Because Nebraska hasn't hired his position coach, and I trust Matt Rhule enough that he's going to say, that's a guy, let's get in his head, let's figure out what he wants, Let's get his position coach here and defensive coordinator who might be coaching this weekend. And let's see if we can keep him here, because that's a guy that could be a cornerstone of the defense in 23 and in 24. So I'm not ready to say, thanks for the Mems. It was great to have 1 year. I'm going to wait to see what happens, because I think there's going to be a lot of Ernest Hausmans around college football that are really good, that maybe they're in a transition or somebody is in their ear, which I also thought about. I'm like, where's he getting stuff from?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go into the portal. Let's see what's going to happen with us while also keeping an eye on where we just came from, knowing that you're not penalized for going in. You can come back.
Yeah, I wonder, there's a lot in there, right? And one of the things I wonder is, okay, this is a scenario that maybe we hadn't considered is, and I don't know anything about Ernest Hausman's personality, I'll start there, but is it possible he sat down with Matt Rhule and was like, this just isn't a good fit from either side? I mean, that's on the table, right?
If that was the case, I'd be questioning the head coach.
That'd be weird, right? Yeah. But I don't know anything about Ernest. I don't know anything about his personality. Maybe they sat down together and they were like, yeah, this probably isn't the right fit. I'm not saying that's what happened, but I do think that's a possibility, because I think the timing of it's a little strange, because he doesn't have the position coach hired yet. And you imagine that's coming sooner rather than later. I imagine when they had a meeting together, it was probably like, hey, we understand you don't have your linebackers coach yet. We anticipate having that done sooner rather than later, whatever. It's not like the linebackers coach is not going to be hired for till March, you know? You imagine this whole staff's going to be filled out in a week, right?
Yes. Unless that is the greatest linebacker coach of all time.
That's what I mean.
And he has a non-compete and he's not available till March.
That's what I mean, right? So it's not like, I don't know, I don't think waiting a week dramatically impacts how he would be recruited out of the portal, or waiting 2-3 days. Like, it might not even be a week, right? I wouldn't be shocked if this thing is filled out by Monday, basically, staff-wise. So that timing of it's a little weird to me, because most players usually kind of like to see, okay, who's my new guy at the place I'm at? We'll have a conversation, and then we'll make a decision from there. The fact that he made a decision, theoretically, after having talked to Matt Rhule and not even necessarily caring who the linebacker coach is, that part of it just strikes me as a little odd.
I could see, though, young kid, there's confusion, okay? There's unknown. You just went through this season, and the people that recruited you, the head coach that recruited you, he's already gone.
Mm-hmm.
Your position coach is gone. Your interim head coach, gone. Like, if you wanted to walk up to the football offices just to say hello, like, who do you go talk to? You don't know anybody. Okay?
Sure.
You can't go and introduce yourself to Mr. Linebacker Coach and go, hey, my name's Ernie. I'm from Columbus, Nebraska. I played here this past year. Can we talk? And that linebacker coach goes, oh, I know who you are, 15. I can see as a young person the confusion, and you're like, okay, what am I going to do? That's where I bring into the conversation, I wonder who is talking to him.
Yeah.
Like, who's giving him some advice, or who he's bouncing things off of that he would put his name into the portal. But I just want to caution people that this is going to happen a lot around college football. You could go in, check what your open market value is with the unknown of where you just came from, and if that gets cleared up, you come back. And I wouldn't hold it against them, because I want the best for everybody.
Sure.
In this situation, and they have the ability to do this, but I wouldn't hold it against, I mean, dipped your toe in the water, said it's not for me, the best place is where I was because I got an opportunity, and now I know who my position coach is, I'm going to get to know my head coach, and I'm back, and everybody's like, you know what? Good for you. You made the best decision for yourself. And ultimately, that would be the best decision for Nebraska because of his ability.
Yeah, and again, I don't have any animosity to players that want to explore their options, that want to make sure they're in the best situation for them. I mean, coaches do it all the time. Players should be allowed to do it. I don't have an issue with any of that. You know, if Ernest Hausman ends up coming back, great for Nebraska, terrific. If he ends up going somewhere else, you hope he succeeds there, right? But, yeah, I just wonder, I'd be really curious to get an insight into his logic behind making this move yesterday. Like I said, would make a little more sense to me if he'd met the position coach, maybe he wasn't a good fit. Maybe he met the head coach, wasn't a good fit. Maybe the head coach kind of described what they were looking for defensively. I would imagine you could find a place for Ernest Hausman just about on any kind of defense, but, you know, maybe that was a factor too. You also just wonder, you mentioned his recruitment was mostly just Nebraska the whole time. I mean, he had other offers, but it was basically just Nebraska all the time. Maybe he just, maybe he wants to feel the love a little bit. Maybe he thinks, okay, I closed out the season really well. Let's see. You know, maybe he felt like he was under-recruited coming out because he was playing in Columbus, Nebraska, and maybe didn't get as much attention as somebody that was either playing in the metro or in a different state. Maybe he looks at it and say, okay, like, you didn't give me the love coming out of high school. Like, let's see what my market is now. And, you know, again, he's 19 years old or 18, 19 years old. That wouldn't surprise me if that was a part of this equation, just saying, like, hey, I didn't feel like I got the type of recruitment I should have last year. Let's see what the market's like now.
So buckle up, everybody. Beginning on the 5th, it's 45 days of negotiating between coaches and players and collectives and change to a roster. The portal will taketh and the portal will giveth, because there will be a point, probably before Christmas, that Nebraska will have a couple of key guys come out of the portal that you will celebrate. It is, that's where we're at. I mean,
it's the nature of the business.
But it does divide the college football fan, and I think it's a little bit along how long you've been following a program.
Yeah, like
if you're a younger fan and you've been in the, if you were born in free agency, man, you love this. Oh yeah, bad. It's awful to lose the guy, but who are we gonna get next?
Yeah, I think there's a generational thing for sure.
It divides people, but this could be the crazy train of portaling when it opens up on December 5th. I mean, we're already seeing it. Look at Cade McNamara is now at Iowa.
Yeah, the portal's not even open.
That didn't take long.
All of a sudden you go, whoa. Does he not know who the OC is there? Wait a minute, is the OC going to change? Does he not know that wide receivers are departing left and right? Wait a minute, Iowa's NIL, did that kick in? I mean, it's all...
Yeah.
This is the world of college football, and it's going to be absolutely wild, and it's going to impact Nebraska. And you hope that Ernest Hausman stays, but there's going to be a loss probably. It might just be Ernest Hausman where you go,
yeah,
dang. But Nebraska's going to get a win as well in the portal where you're going to go, here we go. Here we go. This is the new Trey Palmer.
Yeah, you're going to probably try and get a new Trey Palmer. You're going to try and get a new Ernest Hausman. If he ends up leaving, you're going to try and get a new, maybe better O'Shawn Mathis. You know, you're going to try and get a lot of those things out of the portal. And this is, you can't love Trey Palmer and getting him to Nebraska and hate the fact that Ernest Hausman's in the portal. It's different sides to the same coin. That's how college football is now. I don't have a problem with it. I'm glad they put a little more structure to it and said, guys, just having like portal windows rather than just being like, man, I'm leaving. Like, that was weird. Like, I appreciate that they put a little structure into place, but this is what it is. I don't have a problem with the NIL. I don't have a problem with the transfer portal. I think it will settle down as people get more used to it on both fronts. I think it'll kind of find an equilibrium. But for the first few years here, it's going to be pretty crazy. And you're going to have people testing waters that probably shouldn't. And you're going to have people leaving and ending up in spots that maybe they shouldn't. You know, Christian Bishop's a really good example last night in Texas. He probably does not. I mean, I know for sure he does not have the role he thought he was going to have the role at Texas. And would he have the role that he would want at Creighton this year? I don't know. Because look at, I mean, Creighton's starting five is pretty legit. But is there a different place he could have gone that he'd be able to have more of a role that makes more sense for what he wanted for his career? Probably. You're going to have that happen. Like, the portal can be really, really good, and it can be really, really bad for certain people. And that's just part of figuring this whole system out.
And remember, Nebraska fired a football coach off a bad football team that didn't go to a bowl game, and they're hiring a new coach. Okay, there's going to be transition.
Yeah.
You hope that this is, when you factor in last year, And think about the advantage of the portal for Nebraska last year, where Nebraska would be if they'd not gotten some wins out of the portal, if they'd not gotten a Palmer, if they'd not gotten a Thompson, if they'd not gotten a Washington out of the portal. But how long of a runway is it for Nebraska to make their hay in the portal? I mean, the matrix of the portal when it comes to Nebraska should settle down over the next couple of years where you don't have an Ernest Hausman going in the portal and you go, whoa.
Yeah.
You have guys that are maybe second or third string that aren't getting to play.
Yeah, guys that are that are looking for an opportunity.
That also committed to the school and not their position coach, which...
I mean, we saw that with Malachi Coleman, right?
Which is the reality of where Nebraska is with this recruiting class and this roster. You had players that committed to a particular position coach other than a university. It happens. I get that. When Malachi Coleman committed, I said, how many in-state guys do you recall that committed specifically to the position coach, not because it's dear old Nebraska U and I live inside of the borders? We're going to get to Malachi in the next hour. But that is what, you know, you get through this year where you're going to have some turnover. I mean, you're going to have... What if you have 11 to 15 scholarship guys are processed out to the portal?
It wouldn't surprise me.
But remember, you're going to bring in 11 to 15 guys somehow, either in a high school recruiting class or in the portal. That's the way it works. We have to accept that. I'm surprised yesterday with Ernest Hausman, but I'm not ready to say, adios, amigos. Don't let the door hit you, on the backside on the way out. I'm like, okay, I get it. You're a young kid. You're confused.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You don't know who you're playing for. And you're getting some information. You're bouncing things off people. You're testing the waters, but you're not. I don't sense, and just a couple of people, and not a lot of people know him, are saying he didn't like slam the door on Nebraska. I think he just wants to see where we're at. And then Nebraska, which they have to do. I don't care if you're the fifth string left tackle. Nebraska has to re-recruit every guy in this program.
Yeah,
if they want to, if Rule is true to what he wants, that he wants people that are all in, that understand what they're trying to do and want to stay at Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean, that's the case with any new coach, right? This isn't unusual in that this is happening. Anytime you have a transition, I mean, look at Josh Heupel at Tennessee. There was like a 40-guy turnover in 1 year. That's a ton, right? And that most of those weren't seniors. That was just, hey, a bunch of people leaving the portal. Look what's going on at Texas A&M this year. I'd rather be, I mean, Texas A&M, transfer portal wise, that's concerning that you have five stars jumping off board and getting into the portal at, you know, two and three and four at a time. That, if you're Texas A&M, you should be very concerned about what's happening there. If you're Nebraska, you just hired a new coach. This was going to happen.
Yep.
You were going to have roster turnover. That is the nature of a coaching change. And frankly, Nebraska's been bad. How concerned should we actually, and listen, I get Ernest Hausman looked really good for stretches toward the end of the season here. And I think he's going to be a really good football player. But if you're to the point where you haven't made a bowl game in longer than anyone else in the Power Five, you just hired a new head coach, at a certain point you kind of have to trust, okay, we have to let this play out for them a little bit, because their track record of turning around programs is better than our track record with the guys that are currently here. Meaning of guys on the roster.
Yep.
That doesn't mean there's not guys on the roster you want to keep. That doesn't mean that there's not guys on the roster that can contribute to winning moving forward. What it does mean is the way things have been going around here with the guys currently on the roster has not worked. And so there's going to have to be some wholesale changes.
Mm-hmm. Josh Heupel's a prime example of Tennessee.
Yeah. It was.
Now, he came in and there were already guys that were out the door and they weren't even close to 85.
Exodus.
Were they 35 different new players his first year?
Yeah, 35 or 40.
Now, that would be stunning around here.
No, I don't think it's going to be that level, but there's always going to be transition. And look, Josh Heupel was not nearly as popular of a hire as Matt Rhule. Not that popularity means anything for hires, as we saw with Scott Frost, but he probably had even less leeway in terms of having a chance to turn this thing around and have any sort of patience with the fan base. Yet, you have that level of turnover. You have some suspect buy-in or lack of buy-in with a new head coach from the jump. And boom, they're off and running. You find the right combination. You find the right guys that work for what you want to do. And you're off and running. Nebraska should look at the transfer portal as a blessing as much as anything. Because The portal could have helped avoid that Matt Rhule year one, where you really, really struggle. And if they're able to turn the roster over faster, that should Nebraska fans should look at that as a positive.
Well, his first year at Baylor, there was no portal. So he had all these freshmen, and he played them all, and they took their lumps, went 1-11, and then 2 years later, they had the year they had. Now you can sort of speed that process up because of the portal. So, yeah, just like you said, it giveth and it taketh away.
Buckle up, everybody, for the next 45 days of portaling. Prepare accordingly. Go get your supplies and get your roster available to cross guys out and add guys.
Listen, just put on the seatbelt. It's gonna be bumpy at times, but you know you got to see how the ride ends.
My man Banks, you gotta time it out better when you go into the portal. You can't go into the portal the same day as a guy that was a starter if you want some attention. You just can't. And then people are gonna tweet at you and say, "Hey, have you seen the stats of people that go into the portal?" Not for everybody, but some people, it is you get a promotion.
I will say, as an offensive lineman, his chances are probably better than as like a wide receiver, because there's not a lot of quality offensive linemen in the portal. And I'm not saying he's necessarily a quality offensive lineman, but there's a better chance that a team will take a shot on an offensive lineman if they need help than there's a million wide receivers in the portal. We'll figure it out.
He'll get some attention because he's a Power 5 offensive lineman. Hunter Anthony got attention because he's a Power 5 offensive lineman.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, coming up in the next hour, Brett Ciancia and Lee Sterling on our Football Friday fiesta ahead of the championship weekend and a really good slate in the NFL. Last night, the Bills beat the Pats again. Josh Allen, 5-1 against the Patriots since 2020, and that includes that playoff victory. And he was good again last night. Man, it was just one play a week out of Josh Allen where you go, dang, dang. It's a 16-20 of the zone.
Yeah.